Before we talk about the March issue of the magazine, what did you think of the Oscars, and had you seen all those movies?
I had seen, yes, all of the Best Picture nominees, most of the docs, most of the foreign films. Mixed reaction to the night, to be honest. I really was not a fan of Green Book, so I was pretty upset that it won Best Picture. I don't think it's deserving. But then there were some pleasant surprises. I mean, Olivia Colman is genius in The Favorite, but even that I had mixed feelings about because I wanted Glenn Close to finally win.
Yeah.
You know? Rami Malek, I enjoyed him in Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought he did a really good job, although every time I see like an isolated scene from that movie, I'm like, there's something a little ridiculous about the whole film, the teeth, the prosthetic teeth, but when you're watching it and you're sort of immersed in it, you kind of get over that, and I remember leaving the film thinking, wow, Rami Malek just nailed it.
Yeah.
As far as the show itself, like, not having a host was okay, although when, like, you know, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph came out, I thought, why aren't they just hosting, you know?
Well, I bet you they ask them to do it next year, because they were pretty harmless, and they're funny, too.
They're very funny, and I wouldn't say they're harmless, but what I would say is that they're good people.
Yeah.
So, and they're both good people and funny, which is like a wonderful intersection, and you just kind of know they're not going to say anything offensive or stupid or wrong, because that's just not who they are as people. So it's such a great thing. So yes, I would love to see the three of them host next year, but you know, all in all, there were some wonderful things about the evening and some less than wonderful things.
Yeah. Well, I just like no politics in my award show, and that was pretty cool. And I like I like trying to guess how old Barbara Streisand is, because she's had so much work. She looks like she's 30.
Yeah, and Bette Midler, too, right?
Yeah, Bette Midler,
like,
too.
Both Bette Midler and Barbara Streisand kind of like picked a face in like 1985, and their face has stayed more or less the same since then.
Amazing.
So congratulations, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Man, having been out there once, in Hollywood and like walked around out there, I got a little perspective on where everybody is. And that theater is right there where all the freaks are, like dressed up like Superman and, you know, Spider-Man and all those people out there. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of like their Times Square, essentially.
Totally. It totally is.
Yeah.
Except it's just Hollywood Boulevard. But, well, hey, that's cool. More movies.
And you can read my thoughts on Oscar at BaltimoreMagazine.com. So there you go, a little plug.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I wanted to know. Because, I mean, come on. To me, you're still a movie reviewer in every way, and I would rather hear it from you than try to go figure it out myself.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely, you. Man. You nailed it, Max. Hey, this restaurant issue for March has some really great ideas. You might not even know your town as well as you think you do when you read this.
Yeah. I think this issue is, you know, if I do say so myself, is amazing. I'm so blown away by the design that our art director, Amanda White-Isley, did for this issue. It looks like something you would see in, like, Bon Appetit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the 50 best restaurants. We also go behind the scenes, like into the kitchens of a few of these restaurants, so you get to know the chefs and what their procedure is like. But, you know, my whole thing is, look, I'm like everybody else. I follow, you know, food influencers on Instagram, and I read Yelp reviews, and that's all fine and good. But this is the authoritative list of the best restaurants in town, because we have professional critics who are out there who are really assessing this in a completely as objective criteria as possible. They've been doing their homework for years on this subject. They know food. They know Baltimore. And this is sort of the definitive list. I mean, if you're a foodie, you got to pick this up. And I think once you flip through, like you said, Sesh, it's like, you're going to be surprised at all these restaurants in Baltimore that you didn't know about. There's some amazing restaurants, and many in this I'm dying to go to that I have not been to yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool and pretty exciting to flip through this issue.
And the market is in flux. I mean, there are new places, but there are some favorites that have gone out of business, too, like Salt.
Right. Salt went out of business. Yeah, it's pretty wild to see, like, the Wine Market went out of business.
Yeah.
There's it's it's a very, very challenging business. It's sort of like you have to move or you die. You have to change, you have to update, you have to sort of assess what's happening, or else you're going to go out of business. But for every place that closes, a new place opens, and we're getting all this really interesting stuff that's happening. But, you know, like, we put Cingale on the cover. You know, there are some restaurants that have, like, just, like, withstood the test of time. They're great, and they get that kind of love for us. So, you know, it's a mixture of classic restaurants, old-school restaurants, and these kind of, like, fresh new restaurants that we're really excited about as well.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, Cindy Wolf is amazing. I like that little Pierpoint restaurant right there on Alisana, man. That's so good. So good.
Oh, yeah, that place, man. I haven't been there in years.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the name of that? Yeah, yeah.
Pierpoint.
That's a good place.
Yeah, I lived across the street from it, so I used to go over there all the time. They had different menus every day. It was great. Really, really fun.
I remember they had like a smoked crab cake. I'm not sure if they still have that, but that was wild.
Wild. Totally wild.
Yeah. So that's the big story, obviously. Then we have a profile of Alex Smith, who is John Patarakis' grandson. And he's a restaurateur. He owns the Atlas Restaurant Group. He owns, like, most of the restaurants in Harbor East. And what's so interesting about him is that he's this young guy. He was this major athlete in college at U of Delaware. He was a lacrosse player, a huge star. And, you know, he kind of knows he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he knows that people perceive him that way. So he just, like, works his butt off to prove people wrong. I mean, he is like the hardest working guy in the food business. And so this is a profile. It's sort of an exclusive. He really doesn't talk to the press that much. He talked to our Jane Marion, and I think you're going to really find him to be a fascinating subject. So that story is called Hunger Games, and it comes right after the Best Restaurant story.
That's very cool. Yeah. He, at first I thought you were talking to the Redskins quarterback, and then I realized that this is not about football in any way. This is about eating. In Baltimore.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be writing about the Redskins quarterback, you know. Maybe Lamar Jackson, but not the Redskins. And then one last story that I wanted to call people's attention to since we're on this food tip. It's called Sweet Devotion, and it's a profile of 7 family-owned bakeries around town.
Yeah.
And again, you know, there's just something about, like, an old-school bakery. Like, I love new-school bakeries. You know, give me a fancy place with, you know, macarons or croissants, whatever. But these are, like, the turnovers, donuts, cookies, like, the stuff from your childhood. And these are families that have run these places for generations. And, again, you're going to flip through this story, and you're going to read about places like Fenwick Bakery and Herman's Bakery, and you're just going to, like, desperately crave a cherry turnover.
Yeah, well, I crave all kinds of things looking through that magazine, man. I'll tell you what, it makes you hungry because the pictures are very edible. That's what they are. They're edible.
And, seriously.
And you know, Cingale, you can go all the way with that anytime you want because that restaurant and Charleston, those two, they're the ultimate, I think. I mean, yeah, there's a new really expensive place in the Four Seasons Hotel, but those two are just guaranteed to be off the hook every time.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Those are places where I take out-of-town guests, you know. You have those certain restaurants where you're like, look, Baltimore can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cingale and Charleston and, you know, Taliata and Linwood's and Primer. There's a bunch. But, and you know, all these restaurants are fantastic restaurants. And, again, if you haven't eaten at some of these places, you're just going to want to eat your way through Baltimore, which is, like, fun, you know.
Well, I am a subscriber as of Friday.
So yay!
I am, yeah. I'm back in. I sent my little friend
in.
I told him to bill me later. No, I actually paid it. No, it's cool because I've got a year coming. So now I can keep up even quicker on the Baltimore
scene. Okay, it warms my heart to hear that.
Well, I love it, man. I mean, it's the it's really the official, you know, statement of what Baltimore is. Baltimore Magazine is the official, I think. So, you know, you can get things from everywhere else, but if it didn't come out of Baltimore Magazine, it's B-League.
I love it, man. Love it.
Yeah, you know. And Max, do you have anything there or at home that we're going to be talking about? And we've been talking about things like VCRs and things that you might hold on to. Technology that is worthless, but is worth something to you.
No, I threw away my phones. I'm only a smartphone person. I don't have a VCR.
No.
No, I'm trying to think of, no, you know what? I mean, I'm not like cutting edge when it comes to technology. I'm not a Luddite. I'm somewhere in between, but I don't get sentimentally attached to technology, I guess. So it wasn't like when I threw away my VCR, I was crying about it or anything, or my phone, you know. I'm just like, okay, thank you, next.
Yeah. Yeah. I am too, except I have too many VHS tapes to go get transferred to something, you know. I mean, I was on 20, I was on 2020 once, and I have that on VHS, and it probably doesn't even play anymore, but I like to see it anyway.
Well, do you know the comedian, the local comedian, Larry Nodo? Must know Larry Nodo.
Sure,
so he's a friend of mine. He is hilarious.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, like, how the whole notion of, like, you would climb into the attic and find old family photos is gone now because everything is digital.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, that's why I keep my computers in the attic.
I've seen him before. I've seen him feature and host some comedy shows around
here. Yeah, he's a funny guy. I always think about that. Like, you know, the idea of, like, the discovery of grandma's Instagram page, you know? I mean, it's just weird.
I used to love that stuff. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a good story to go with that, but I'm going to tell it on the air. It's about my ex-wife and how she told me her family was something completely different, and I found out looking at photo albums that the man that she told me was her stepfather was actually your father. She completely lied about her family structure to me, and we were married, and I had to learn it from a photo album. So, yeah.
This is too intense for a early morning.
I am divorced and I'm happy and it's over. Game over. So, hey, Max, thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. We'll talk next month.
I'm going to love you, baby. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.